You may take your seat wherever you are. Thank you so much, guys. Praise the Lord. Who's happy to be in church today? Quickly touch three people. Find three people and welcome them to church today. All of you that are watching us online, a very warm welcome to every single one of you. Wherever it is that you're tuning in, welcome to church. If you're new here today, if this is your first time, what a Sunday to come. Pentecost Sunday, Holy Ghost, praise the Lord. I'll be honest with you, we do nothing different any other Sunday. You're going to find us praying in tongues. You're going to find us loud and unashamed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Someone look at someone next to you. And if you don't have somebody next to you, make sure next week Sunday you bring somebody to sit next to you. Look at them in the eyes, and if you don't have anyone to look at, look down and say this from your heart. Ye shall receive power. If you're with us online, write it in the comment section. Now in the crowd, if you're here, our church, look at somebody else and say the same thing to them. Ye shall receive power. Come on. Be careful now. That power is on the inside of you. Be careful now. Something could happen. The power of God upon the believer is what makes the difference. The power of God that rests upon you is what makes the difference. I want to speak to you this morning about a couple of things, but we need this time to stand still in the name of Jesus Christ. It's my prayer point for the month of June. Father, let the seconds go slower in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody here knows I'm not limited by this clock. Even if that clock goes to naught, we're going to continue. Amen. I want you to turn quickly with me to John chapter 14. I'm so glad to be in church. Amen. Turn with me to John chapter 14. I want to speak to you about four things, and then I want to give you three keys right at the end. Normally I get made fun of when I give keys by certain individuals, but keys open doors. May doors open in your life this month in Jesus' name. This morning I want to speak to you about the plan, the promise, the power, and the proof. I want to speak to you about the plan, the promise, the power, and the proof. Turn with me to John chapter 14. Let's go to verse 7. Let's begin reading. Let me actually preempt you to something. I'm going to go to Luke 24 after this. For those of you who still have to go to the index page, turn to the index page now and find Luke. Amen. I'm just joking. All right. Verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it will be sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Verse 10, do you not believe that? I'm in the Father is in me. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Verse 12 is the way I want to get to this morning because this is the plan. Say the plan. I want to speak to you about the plan, the promise, the power, and the proof. Verse 12 says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me. That qualifies you for the rest of the statement. I came to preach to you, that qualifies you for the rest of the statement. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. I want to read it in the Amplified Classic focusing on verse 12, I assured you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior will also do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these in extent and outreach, because I am going to the Father. This is the plan of God concerning you. See, I'm coming at it with a different angle today. This is the plan of God concerning you, that you will continue the things of Christ and greater. There's been much debate whether it means quality, quantity. I'm not going to get into that today. This is the plan of God concerning you, child of God. I'm speaking to you now as a child of God. This is His plan concerning you, that you will continue the works of Christ, that what He started, you will continue. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and make disciples. You are alive to continue this work. This is the assignment that undergirds every individual and unique assignment. You are here to continue the work of Christ in your area that you work, in your school, in your universities, at your job, at the retirement home. You are there on the scene to continue the work of Christ. This is the plan. But it's a very prideful thing to think that you can fulfill the plan of God without the power of God. You see, Christ could not do His work until He was empowered. Christ could do no miracles. Christ could do no exploits until He received power. Luke chapter 3, the Bible tells that He was baptized in the Jordan by John. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost descended upon Him in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice was heard from heaven saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Then Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says concerning Jesus, He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. During that period, after He was tempted by the devil, after 40 days He came out. But then the Bible says He came out in the power of the Spirit. Christ until this stage had performed no miracles. Christ until this stage had not done any of the things that He was speaking about. In John chapter 14 and verse 12, "These things will you do." He did not do those things until He had received power. So for us to think that we can continue these things without the same power is pride. See, God had a plan, and to see us fulfill that plan, He gave us a promise of power. Turn to Luke 24, verse 44. The plan, the promise, the power, the proof. Luke 24, 44. Then He said to them, this is after Jesus' resurrection. John 14 was prior to His death and resurrection. Then He said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then He said to them, "Thus it is written, thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all the nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." Verse 49, "Behold, I send the promise," capital P, "of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." He didn't just reveal His plan. He also gave us a promise. "I will send the promise," capital P. The promise is a person, and His name is the Holy Spirit. We cannot have a light regard for this promise, because a light regard for receiving the promise of God is a light regard for the assignment that God has given you. Because you cannot fulfill the assignment that God has given you without the person of the Holy Spirit. You cannot fulfill supernatural instruction with natural empowerment. But to fulfill supernatural, everything that God speaks to, it's supernatural. The dreams that you are dreaming should not be able to be fulfilled by your own thing, by your own strength. When God gives you a vision, it should be so big that nobody can glorify you and it's achieved. When you start dreaming, when you start having those visions and it's so big that it's impossible for you to complete it, you just stepped into the realm of God. Because you're not going to get the glory. You're not going to get the glory because they're going to say it's impossible. There must be a God. It was said among the nations, God has done great things. One of my favorite scriptures at the moment, Galatians 1:24. And they glorified God in me. May people from today glorify the God that dwells on the inside of you. The things that you are about to do in the next 6 months, may no one be able to give you the glory, but may they have to give the God that dwells on the inside of you in the person of the Holy Ghost. May they glorify Him. So He told us His plan. These things will you do. Them that believe, they shall do these things, and greater things shall they do. They gave us, He showed us the plan. Then He gave us a promise. Tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. This was not a suggestion of Jesus to the disciples. This was not Him saying, well, if you want to, you can tarry there. If you read in the Amplified, He says, listen carefully. It would have been funny if it said, listen properly. Listen carefully. I am sending the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit, upon you. But you are to remain in the city of Jerusalem. Listen to these now. Until you are clothed, fully equipped with power from on high. Until you receive the promise, you will always be ill-equipped. You will never be fully equipped without the promise of the Holy Ghost. You will always have to do things in your own strength. Your business will rely on the arm of flesh. But when you get full of God, you become unstoppable. But when you receive the promise, all of a sudden, it's not your might. It's not your power. But it's by His Spirit. So He gave us the plan. Then He said, I'm going to send the promise. Tarry in Jerusalem until you are clothed, fully equipped with power from on high. Your destiny demands power. Your future, the vision that God has given you, demands for you to have the promise of the Holy Ghost. Because the power flows from the promise, not the other way around. Some of us, we want to seek the power, but we don't want the promise. The person of the Holy Ghost, He is the one that gives you the power. Power flows from Him. When He dwells in you, you can fulfill the plan. God gave me a plan. These things shall you do, and greater things shall you do. But He's going to give you a promise, the promise of power to become the proof. Tarry in Jerusalem. Don't go. The same people that walked with the Christ, the anointed one, He looked them in the eyes and said, you've seen everything. You've seen the wonderful works that I've done, but tarry in Jerusalem. You're not exempted from this thing. Tarry in Jerusalem. You saw me raise Lazarus. You saw me do amazing things, but tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. How much more do we? How much more do we need to wait and receive that empowerment? So that we can do what He's called us to do. How much more do we need to receive power from on high so that we can pursue the assignment that He has given us? Doing what God has called you to do in your own power is the biggest waste of time. But when God speaks to you, God will never give you a supernatural instruction without giving you supernatural empowerment to fulfill it, to see it come to pass. Possessing the promise of the Holy Spirit is a requirement for our heavenly assignment. The promise is the one who produces the power. See, if you are not endued with power from on high, you are not fully equipped to carry out God's kingdom agenda. For the kingdom of heaven is not in talk, but is in demonstration of power. Say power. Turn to Acts chapter 1 now. Gave us the plan. now told us that he was sending the promise who would bring us the power. And I'm already giving it away so that you could become the proof. Acts chapter 1, go to verse 5. Acts, in case you didn't know, many people think it was written by Paul, it was written by Luke. And he quotes what he said at the latter half of the gospel according to Luke. He speaks of it again. He records those same words in Acts chapter 1. Let's start in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he had said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power. But you shall receive power. Dunamis power. Miraculous power. Amplified Classic. Ability, efficiency, and might. But you shall receive power. Lift your hands. Thank God for the power. Sabrota silakayata. Thank you, Lord, that you've granted unto me power to fulfill my assignment, my destiny, that which you've called me to do. Thank you that I can receive power, the Spirit's ability, the Spirit's efficiency, and the Spirit's might to do what you've called me to do, to be what you've called me to be, to impact those that you've called me to impact, to fulfill the vision that you've birthed on the inside of me. You cannot do greater things without the power of the greater one. So he gave us the plan. He gave us the promise who produces the power. Turn to Acts 2 now. For some of you, I can see dust is falling off of your Bible. Amen. Hey, Pastor, you're turning to so many scriptures today. What is happening? This book carries the power to set you free. This book carries the power to move you to a level that no man can stop you in Jesus' name. That no man can keep you back in Jesus' name. Chapter 2. This is why we're here this morning. This is what we're celebrating. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole place where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the sound is not private. There should be a sound that comes from you. There should be a sound that comes from me. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together. I tell you, there's a sound that's coming from this church in an hour. There's a sound that's coming from this church in this hour. I see the multitudes are going to begin to flock in Jesus' name. Your family is going to come to the house of God in Jesus' name. Wives that come here without your husband, I say your husband's about to be saved in Jesus' name. Husbands that come without your wife is about to be saved in Jesus' name. I felt to say that to somebody. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all of these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Lists all of the different places and names and countries. So they were all amazed, verse 12, and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Verse 14, but Peter. But, you didn't hear me. But Peter. NLT says, but Peter stepped forward. You see, he gave us a plan. He told us the promise, that he was going to send the promise, who would produce the power so that you could become the proof. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses. You are called to be the pure proof of the existence of the Most High God. Your life should be undeniable evidence of His existence. Your life, what He has done for you, what He continues to do in your marriage, what He continues to do in your business, should not be able to be contended. Your life should speak for itself. I am the pure proof of the goodness of God. My family is the proof of the goodness of God. I'm speaking about you. My marriage is the pure proof of the existence of the Most High God. Because I know His plan. He sent the promise. I received the promise. So I have the power to be His proof. Because you might not have seen Jesus on the earth in His natural body. You might have not seen Him die on that cross. You might have not even seen Him resurrected. But the moment that you surrendered to Him, the moment that you gave your life to Him, when everything changed, you became a witness. Your testimony is your witness. Once I was bound, but when I gave my life to Jesus, He set me free. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Once I was crippled, but now I can walk. Once I was depressed, but now I have joy unspeakable and I'm full of glory. Once my business was going backwards, but now it's thriving, it's flourishing. Look at what God has done for me. I'm pure proof of His goodness. Once I was suicidal, but now I'm free. Now I have liberty because the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You are called to be the proof of the goodness of God. So Peter steps forward. The power of God comes upon you, not so that you can become a super apostle or a forensic prophet, but so that you can become a witness. It doesn't say, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be a pastor, and you will be an apostle, and you will be this. It says, and you will be a witness. The power of God comes upon you. The dunamis power of God comes upon you so that you can be a witness. So that you can be pure proof of God's goodness. They can fight doctrine. They can fight theology. But when you're on the scene, you're the evidence of the goodness of God. Once you were left on the side, but all of a sudden you're prospering and a blessing to everybody in the city. What is your answer? What happened? How did it happen? But God. You can argue this as much as you want, but you can't argue your testimony. You can't argue what God has done for you. You can't argue the miracles that He performs through you. The plan, the promise, the power, the proof. You are proof of His existence. You are undeniable evidence of the Most High God. You are undeniable evidence of the Most High God. You are undeniable evidence of the Most High God.